time since lockdown began 11 weeks ago, millions of people living alone in England will be allowed to stay overnight in another person's household. The new measure, which was described by the Prime Minister as a support bubble, comes into effect on Saturday. This is what he said at the press briefing last night.
From this weekend, we will allow single adult households to form a support bubble with one other household, meaning they can spend time together inside each other's homes and do not need to stay 2 metres apart.
So did that take you by surprise when that was announced last night? We knew about the zoos and the safari parks and, you know, what was going to be announced there, but that may have been a bit of a surprise to many people when he announced a further relaxation of the government's lockdown regulations. Well, to try and tackle this, as well as other virus-related news, Professor Bertie Squire, once again, he's Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. He's also Honorary Consultant in Infectious Diseases at the Royal Liverpool Hospital here in the city. Bertie, good morning to you once again. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
So we're going to talk bubbles. We're going to talk social bubbles here. It's on the face of it, it's a little complicated, but it's aimed at those who have been very much alone through this whole thing. And for them, it's going to be a huge relief.
Absolutely. I was listening to your clip just before coming on, and the question about whether that was a surprise or not. To be honest, I've been expecting something along these lines, because I think that we all recognise that if you're entirely on your own, it's really hard to keep some structure to the day, apart from the other obvious things about general social interaction, the ability to have a conversation with somebody, the ability to have a hug, you know, all of those things. And certainly, I think this is welcome news. Mm. Like all of the changes that are happening as lockdown is easing, there's always a little bit of a period of time to sort of digest what exactly does it mean for any individual. And that also brings its own uncertainty.
There are exceptions, Bertie. For example, if someone is shielding, sadly, they will still have to self-isolate and they're going to miss out on this.
Yes, I think it's worth remembering this is aimed at those people who have been, who are alone, but haven't been in that most vulnerable category. So people who, for example, are on chemotherapy for cancer, those who are really vulnerable to infection, who have been contacted by the NHS, usually by their GP, to warn them that they're in the shielding category. The risk for them is just too great to do this. I keep wanting to say bubbling up, but that's not what it is. It's doubling up or forming a bubble. But no, there are those who it does not apply to. And the other thing to remember is it is really about people who are on their own. So it doesn't mean that a full household that has many people in it can link up with another full household. It's really to relieve the isolation for those people who've really had 3 months on their own.
Yeah, it's the mental health side of things as well. And as we all know, you know, if your mental health is not great, you know, that can have an effect on your body too.
Absolutely. I think mental health is often very much underestimated. And it's clear that it's not really possible to go on being isolated for that length of time without there being consequences, both for mental health and physical health.
Yeah. We were also expecting an announcement on the social distance measurement coming down to 1 metre. That didn't happen, but of course it's popping up in relation to the hospitality sector and also schools. You know, a lot of the schools have been saying pretty much since day one, you know, we can't have just a small amount of children taking up the whole school. You know, if that's what's going to happen, you know, it's just not going to work. So the situation with 2 metres to 1 metre, but I was reading yesterday that who came up with the 2 metre? This was just a recommendation where 1 metre would have seemed to have been okay by the WHO.
Yes. So I understand this is a hotly debated area and for all sorts of reasons, which it's worth exploring. First of all, just to comment that, of course, we've seen different countries recommend different things. So it's 1 meter, as you say, from the World Health Organization, and China, Denmark, France, and a number of other countries have gone with 1 meter. South Korea, 1.4 meters. Australia, 1.5 meters. US, 1.8 meters. And then UK, Canada, Spain, we're 2 meters. And I think that reflects the fact of there being such a scarcity of knowledge about the actual virus at the start of the pandemic. So right at the beginning, that those measures were estimated from knowledge that we had about how far infectious droplets can land. And really what we knew from old research about droplets was that 2 meters was the safest distance. And I think countries have then made that judgment. Now, what's new now is that there is information now about this particular group of viruses and the risk of infection from them. So if you remember, we've talked about the group of coronaviruses that includes MERS and SARS, and yeah. Now this one, SARS-CoV. Well, there was a study published in The Lancet on the 1st of June, which actually accumulated all the information about the risk of infection from these and the relative distance. And really what that shows is that 1 meter is safe, but that every meter after that, so every increasing meter, you get a doubling of the effect. So this isn't a one size fits all. And it's worth remembering that in addition to distance, there's this question of how long people stay in each other's company.
Correct.
So I think that that's where the science comes from. But I guess you want to know, Cindy, what does that mean? Well, of course, it's a difficult balancing act, because you're absolutely right. If it's 1 meter, then you can imagine a theater or a cinema can function on a third of its usual. But if it's 2 meters, then it's only going to be a ninth of its usual audience, and that's not really viable. The problem the government faces, we all face, is that if we relax it too quickly, then what may happen is the numbers will go up, and then we'll have to have a lockdown, and then you can't have anybody in the audience. So that's the tension.
As sudden as lockdown came, the easing of lockdown seems to be happening just as rapidly. In terms of dealing with this, I think we found it easier to restrict our lives than we are at easing back into some kind of new way of living. And that's just worry and that's just caution, really, isn't it? Which, you know, can be good. But if we overdo the worry and if we overdo the caution, you know, that can have a detrimental effect on the way we live as well. So it's all about a balance, this, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think the word balance is exactly right. With, as you say, going into a single everybody doing lockdown was one thing. But what we're hearing now, of course, is each week things change. Different things are possible. And each time there is a change, there's that having to understand exactly what does that change mean, interpreting it for different contexts, and thinking about particular circumstances. And that brings uncertainty. And uncertainty in its own right causes anxiety. So we need to balance those changes with the positivity that each of those changes brings, the possibility of going back to work, the possibility of forming a bubble with another household.
Well, we're going to talk, we're going to finish with a couple of positives. I know you've got your crumb of comfort, which we do look forward to, and it's been a big help to many people. But just before we get to that, earlier this week we heard from Dr. Tom from your place, Dr. Tom Fletcher, about the new drug trial. It was called Agile. Just for those who didn't hear that, what is the drug and what do you hope it can achieve?
So the Agile trial is exciting for two reasons. One is the kind of design of the study, which is accelerating speed from conventional phase one to phase two trials. I won't go into that detail. The drug itself is called EIDD-2801, and it's a really exciting antiviral because it's a 5-day course which can be taken by mouth. It looks very safe, and it has shown excellent SARS-CoV activity in the experimental studies. So it hasn't been in humans yet, but it when you test it in the laboratory, it's very effective. So that makes it scalable for all settings. And the fact that we, Tom and the team, are looking to start recruiting in Liverpool and St Helens really quite on the 22nd of June, I think, is the target date.
Yeah.
So it's a really exciting potential, and potentially will move quickly through the approvals if it meets all of the criteria.
And finally, Bertie, your crumb of comfort for this week. We love this bit.
So for this week, I think it's fairly obvious, and I'm pretty sure you will have guessed, my crumb of comfort is this is the opportunity to form a bubble with someone who's been living alone. And just to make it personal, I'm looking forward to the possibility of my 88-year-old mother coming to stay. There's a debate with my siblings as to which of us should form the bubble already. But that's the one this week. I think we should all welcome that development.
I'm sure it's going to be very emotional, and I hope you get picked. I hope you're the one that gets picked. Bertie, listen, we're very lucky to have you and your colleagues and your expertise here in the city, not just for the city, but for further afield, you know, the nation and internationally as well. You're doing a grand job, and we're very pleased you take the time to come on to talk to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you are.
Oh, that's a nice way to finish, isn't it?
I hope he gets picked now.
I know they're all fighting over the mum.
Mum's going to be like that. Right, okay, where's me big book?
Yeah.
Who's got on me nerves over the past 25 years? There you go. Oh, Bertie's in the lead. Oh, he's dropped. He's dropped to second place. We're waiting to see. That is a nice crumb of comfort. Hope it all works out for everyone. BBC Radio.